Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
My ratings probably ever was when I called out TJ Simers, who was writing about the same guy and how he would have been, that Don Poyer would have been beloved like he was if he had been allowed to live. And I was like, allowed to live? What are you talking about? Yeah, that's exactly how he wrote it. And when I got him on the air, and he's just being the typical condescending LA a-hole, I just went nuts on him. David Basham was my producer, and Bash is sitting on the other side. And he sees me, he just sees my blood going higher and higher temperature. And finally, he's just like, oh, so your real problem is my choice of words. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And he goes, what should I have done about it? I said, I don't know. Like, just a, hey, fair enough. I see your point. Would have worked great, TJ. And he starts chuckling. I'm like, what are you chuckling at? He goes, man, this is all supposed to be entertainment and you people in your small markets.
You
and I said, spoken like a typical LA arrogant ass. On the air, and he goes, excuse me? And I go, yeah, excuse you. And I hung up on him.
Yeah, there we go. Well, that's a win.
Man, the phone lit up after that.
God, that had to be so satisfying. Oh,
it felt great. Oh. And I just said, there was a couple other words I wanted to throw in there. But I would, you know, it was still relatively new for my time in those studios. And I was like, that might not go over very well if I drop a couple of choice four-letter bombs in his way. But I literally was waiting for the day that I ran into him and was not going to probably hold my tongue. I probably should have, but I was not going to. Ironically, he got fired from his job for the same type of stuff, for just complete lack of awareness and sensitivity about a couple other things, and went on to try to sue everybody. And I think he won his suit, but whatever.
All right, my man.
Are those Lob City clips? Are they the all-time like Grizzlies villain? They got to be.
They're the ones that made they're the ones that I hated the most.
I think so. I think the all-time top three are the Spurs, and the Thunder and the Clippers, because you played them so much in the playoffs. You could say the Mavericks with Dirk. People hated Dirk Nowitzki, but I think those teams were, without a doubt, the Clippers. There was never a vitriol like that.
I never hated the Spurs. Like, I got tired of seeing them. I got tired of playing them. But like, the Thunder to me, like, there was definitely, you could work up a lather. But man, there was just Chris Paul made my blood pressure go up so high. And there was just nothing. And then
they were just so opposite of each other.
Yes.
The two teams. I mean, just so polar opposite. Here's the thing about both, and to me, and I get it now with people saying this about the Warriors. I didn't have a problem with the Spurs. They had a system. They executed it. It was well done. Yeah, Greg Popovich could be, you know, the
condescending and insufferable.
Man. Yeah, cantankerous and, you know, this angry old dude like his one.
Oh, that's just Pop being Pop. You mean being an a-hole?
One person once said, why does President Snow from the Hunger Games get so angry at the referees? And I was like, well, he does.
When he had the beard, he really did look like Donald Sutherland. Yeah, that's true.
He sure did. So, but I didn't have a problem with them, and I don't have a problem with the Warriors. And people are like, why? And I'm like, because it was organically built. And everybody's like, well, what about Kevin Durant? I said, dude, they were awesome before Kevin Durant and Golden State. They organically built their team through the draft and then used guys they drafted to make trades to get other players. You know, that's the thing people forgot. They traded guys to get other pieces that helped them win. But they were guys that they drafted. This wasn't like, hey, here's an open checkbook, let's go get them. Like, the Lakers haven't drafted a top-tier superstar in forever, partially because they've been good. But I respect teams that put a team together. Now, eventually, those teams have ends to their runs. Golden State's, you know, been able to kind of survive a little bit more because they had a loyal fan base, as you know, Jeffrey, and even in California, being in Pepperdine, that Warriors fan base is known throughout the West is they'll go whether they're good or bad. They're going to go. And now they've got the high dollar tickets, so they have plenty of money to spend to get free agents. And, you know, it is a nice place to live. It's a little wacky at times and expensive, but
Great weather. It is not a convenient place to live.
No, I look, here's the thing.
The weather's phenomenal. You can't get around.
Everybody asked me if I'd want to go back there. My answer is, well, obviously not, because I have my job here. But if I could, would I go back and live in California? I'm like, absolutely not. I mean,
I could live in San Diego.
Even then, you're still subject to a lot of weirdness. But the way they built their team, the way even Boston built their team now, and Boston's had the ability to go get free agents over the past. But when you're drafting your stars and you're able to keep them together and surround them with other guys you drafted and make a team, that's what it's supposed to be about. And to me, that should be respected, not hated. The Clippers were they did draft Blake Griffin, but with getting Chris Paul, and then they just their mentality, like they were owed something. Ugh, yuck. Ugh. Gross.
All right, my man. I wish you the best on the road to eye recovery.
Well, I'm going to be watching the Packers and Commanders tonight with one eye, and hopefully the old Green Bay defense can have a repeat performance of what they did on Sunday to the Lions.
All right, my man.
Later, bro.
That is Eric Hasseltine. When we come back, we get into the list. Got a couple of topics that we want to get into, and then also Jason Smith's going to come up during hour number two. We've got perhaps a multi-school gambling scandal. Going to have to get into that. Also, Cobb's got a new boss, potentially. We'll discuss that and more when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Each and every day here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, we do a little thing called the list. Let's fire it up. Eastern Michigan, Temple, Arizona State, New Orleans, North Carolina, A&T, and Mississippi Valley State. All right, according to David Purdom of ESPN, 13 men's college basketball players from 6 schools were involved in gambling schemes, including betting against their own team, game manipulation, and sharing information with third parties for gambling purposes, the NCAA announced on Thursday. Players formerly associated with Eastern Michigan, Temple, Arizona State, New Orleans, North Carolina A&T, and Mississippi Valley State are under investigation for gambling violations, according to the NCAA, which declined to name the athletes until the infractions process had concluded. None of the players are currently enrolled at the schools where the infractions occurred, according to the NCAA. Cobb, okay, I remember the Temple accusations. I think I remember the North Carolina A&T. I definitely remember the New Orleans accusations. Arizona State was a new one. And didn't they bring back Hurley the Younger?
Yeah, so Bobby Hurley is their coach.
Right, but didn't they did keep him, right?
Yeah, he's still around. Yeah.
I almost wonder if, like, uh-oh.
Oh, they're looking for something to...
Well, yeah. Like, to me, it's like, wasn't part of, like, why they're bringing back was they didn't want to pay the buyout?
And now maybe they have a reason not to. I'd be shocked if there's anything to connect a coach to any of this. Because the coaches get paid. Here's the deal. The reason why most of these programs that you list off that are in intertwined in this gambling ring in college basketball is because most of these schools don't have NIL. So the players are trying to cash in on their platform, and they're thinking, all right, well, if I throw this game, I can make $10K. I ain't making anything in NIL. I mean, Arizona State would be the one exception to that.
Well, and judging by I guess they had a couple of guys, but I don't know. Judging by their rosters, I'm not sure Arizona State's ponying up.
Yeah, so at CBS, Matt Norlander reported that it's B.J. Freeman, who is the Arizona State player, And obviously, like, as you mentioned, none of these players are there anymore. But he was somebody that was on my radar last season as a potential standout transfer because he was like the Horizon League player of the year or all Horizon League, going to Arizona State, like mega productive, like mid-major player. And so I think I had him ranked last year in the top 100. And he actually had a decent season for Arizona State. So it would be interesting to dive into those box scores to try to figure out, like, which games are we talking about here? Because he's somebody who was getting paid. Like, that guy was good enough to command a six-figure NIL payday. I understand why the low major and mid-major players would do this. I'm not condoning it or saying it's something that they should do, but the Arizona State one is the one that makes you really scratch your head. Like, man, like, how much money were you pulling in by throwing your own games to, like, really make it worth it when you're actually, like, a pretty highly paid player?
I'm convinced more of it is helping out buddies.
Yeah, which is just sad because you completely...
Well, I mean, I think when Michael Porter was asked about his brother, basically his whole answer was, man, he's like, man, it's really tough when your boys, like, start being like, man, if you just do this, like, we can make, like, 50 G's. And, like, I'm convinced it's a lot of... I'm not saying that they didn't profit. My other thing on this is I kind of view this all as a good thing. Like, I'm not someone that had my head in the sand. I think games were getting thrown before. At least now we've got a better tracking system.
Yeah, right. So the integrity stuff is
right.
Pretty good at flagging this because the betting apps and all the registered gambling outfits all have to flag and send these strange betting activity reports.
Wait a minute. We've got a North Carolina A&T player prop that's got $5,000 on it.
Yeah, right. And to go back to your point, if Porter's buddies were saying, yeah, man, throw this game and I can buy a new Lambo. Like, those people are not your friends. Like,
no.
If they're trying to get you to ruin your career, ruin your life, and be permanently ineligible to play college basketball, like, they're like, those are not your friends. Your friends wouldn't ask you to do that.
No, I'm with you. But this is one of those ones where it's like, I don't view this as a negative. Like, I view this as good. We're catching it. Like, because to me, like, in the end, the most important thing is, like, the integrity of the sport.
Well, and the low major, mid major college basketball is going to continue to be susceptible to this.
Because, oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the reason you just mentioned.
Yeah. You're not making NIL. You got a chance to go out. And plus, they don't have the education, probably, that the high majors do. That they may not have a deep compliance staff and the people who get
the third party
people who you bring in to stand up in front of the team and explain all of it, right? Because, I mean, I guarantee you there's some athletes out there who are still so oblivious. And
are you allowed to take your player prop over?
Yeah, right. Like, there's probably athletes out there who are ignorant enough to not know that. And if you don't teach them that and tell them that...
Well, that was, like, Pete Rose's excuse was, I only bet on the Reds to win.
Yeah, right. Which, honestly, like, that's an interesting conversation. Like, I'm not like,
no,
if
it
you're
is,
betting
it
on
is,
your...
There is an interesting societal. So, like, for instance, you know, when we have the Open Championship, players are allowed to bet on themselves.
I kind of think you should be. Like,
I don't. I think it should be illegal for you to take your under.
Yes.
But if you want to bet on all the overs, I got no problem with it.
By all means, like, if you think it'll enhance your performance, give you a little extra edge to go out there and play well.
Maybe you should put a little too much money on it, you know? Sweat it out a little bit.
Yeah, now where it gets thorny, though, is like, all right, hey, like, let's say, for example, it's two low major teams in the SWAC or whatever. The
MEAC, whatever. You pick, Horizon.
And then you talk to your buddy on the other team and say, hey man, I got $50,000 that we're gonna cover the spread tonight. You know, if you lay down in the last couple minutes,
I'll cut you in.
Okay, yeah, that's where, you know, like,
no,
like,
where it gets hazy is if you're negatively impacting the game. I got no problem if you want to play a little harder.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, I don't know, like, I doubt the NCAA is gonna ever change the rules to say, yeah, you can bet on yourself. But there is a difference there. Like, there is a clear difference.
No, I'm with you completely. All right, let's go with CBS. All right, this is from the Wall Street Journal that they have reported. I beg your pardon, where I had the reporter's name. Jessica Tunkel reported as such. Paramount Skydance is, quote, preparing a major cash bid to buy Warner Brothers Discovery. Paramount owns CBS. Warner Brothers Discovery has been planning to separate its studio and streaming assets from its linear cable networks, which are TNT, TBS, CNN, and more. The bid, backed by the Ellison family, God, they are really getting involved in sports now. Like, a guy that apparently had no interest in sports, he's just buying quarterbacks. Now he's buying, basically he wants like all the sports on his TV.
Well, isn't it interesting too that this report is coming out at the exact same time that it was revealed that Larry Ellison is now the highest net worth individual. So dad is now the world's wealthiest man, and all of a sudden his son's company is going hard after a huge merger here.
So correct me if I'm wrong, he's like heavily invested in one of the AI companies, and that company's through the roof because he passed Elon, right?
Yeah, so Larry Ellison, he's the CEO, the Oracle guy. Founder of, and here nor there, but apparently Oracle is going to have a 70-acre campus in Nashville. So with Elon Musk having his tentacles in this supercomputer project in Memphis,
well, also now Larry Ellison, Google's building something in West Memphis.
Shout out West Memphis and Crittenden County.
Oh yeah,
how about it? That's big time. So the two richest people in the world have direct ties to the state of Tennessee now and have their business ventures largely tied to the state of Tennessee. But this is big.
Holy hell. $400 billion?
Is that the net worth of Larry Ellison?
Yes.
Yeah. So his son is now the at the top of the food chain in my organization. And this is interesting because if CBS, Paramount, Skydance, whatever you want to call it, were to acquire Warner Brothers, they'd be acquiring Turner and TNT.
According to my buddy Glass-Spiegel, if this went through, Paramount and CBS have the NFL, the Masters, PGA Championship,
and all of the NCAA tournament now.
Right, PGA Tour, Big Ten football and basketball, Champions League, and as of next year, every UFC event. TNT has MLB rights, including two full playoff rounds, half of the NHL that it splits with ESPN, some Big 12 football and basketball, college football playoff games that it's sublicensed from ESPN. They also have NASCAR, the French Open, Big East basketball, and AEW. So basically, CBS, whatever this new venture, would basically have everything except the NBA.
Yeah, and then you think about it, like they would be acquiring HBO and Max. So would Paramount Plus and Max then be one app or one service or one subscription, or would they remain two separate? I don't know. That's interesting.
I wonder if it would be like, I bet it would still be two apps, and then your login would get you into each. I feel like that's what we've been seeing. And of course, these things have so long to go, but I guess the only thing that I'm a little concerned about is like, are we making these media companies so big and so powerful that it's just going to keep screwing the consumer?
Well, I think consolidation in some ways is actually helpful, because if you can have fewer subscriptions and don't have to pick up the remote as much to find what you want to find, then it gets a little bit easier for the consumer.
Yeah, I mean, what I worry, though, is they're driving us all, like, it's never seamless, you know what I mean? And I mean, I'm not trying to put you in a bad spot because you potentially work there, but what I'm saying is just in general, I wonder if some of these media companies are just getting so big. But like, when originally whatever Venue Sports or whatever that was going to be the ESPN, Fox, Warner Brothers Discovery, basically it was like the sports fan app, I was like, well, at least that's one app that like appeals to me.
Well, I don't know, man. Like, Paramount is already going through a huge merger right now with Skydance, and there's going to be some growing pains there. So now you're
well, definitely a new culture, everything, leadership.
Yeah, there's this whole return to the office mandate that's been widely reported on, and everybody's kind of waiting to see how all that plays out. And now you add in another acquisition of a huge media conglomerate. I mean, Warner Bros. Discovery, I mean, they run the gamut of stuff. It's like, HGTV and all that sort of stuff as well. So
Magnolia Network, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Aren't so Chip and Joanna? Aren't they?
Chip and Joe are now my new coworkers. So you know, shout out. But from a sports perspective, like this is interesting to me because the NCAA tournament is sort of divided up right now between CBS and Turner. Well, if CBS acquires Turner, then we're all back in the same big happy family again, and that you know kind of makes the NCAA tournament a little bit more seamless, I would think, because it's a little awkward now when. You know, you've got your Turner studio and your CBS studio, and then you got to pick and choose which games are on which networks. And now it's like,
you got to fight through tornado warnings.
You do have to do that. But if you can get it all in the same family, then I think from an NCAA tournament perspective, like that makes a lot of sense. So, you know, but then for me, like I'm looking at this and I'm like, all right, well, does Warner Brothers Discovery have any properties that do what I do? Because that would be unappealing, but no, not really. I mean, there's not like a whole lot of writers that work for Warner Brothers Discovery. They do have Golf Digest. So, you know, maybe our golf team would get squeezed or something, but no, I mean, I think it's interesting. I don't know what to make of it. Obviously, like,
by the way, did you see the new golf podcast that was announced?
That we're doing or who's doing it?
I think it's sponsored by ChatGPT. These are three real names. This is a real thing that is happening. I think it's also going to be on Sirius. Cooper Manning, Kenny Mayne, and Brian Baumgartner, the Kevin from The Office.
Talking golf?
Talking golf.
Okay, what's the, like why do we care, like, what they say?
They're calling it We Need a Fourth, and they're trying to pitch it as the most entertaining show in the history of golf.
I'll give it a shot.
Do we need more golf content?
I mean, I would say golf content I consume as a fan more than I do any other sport. Like, obviously, college football, college basketball, I consume it, but not necessarily from a fan perspective. But golf content, I consume it from a fan perspective.
You know
more than I do any other sport.
You know what I've fallen into the trap of, and I never thought I would? I'm watching a lot of bad golf on YouTube.
Well, this is a tough time of year because you're just waiting around for the Ryder
Cup. Yeah.
Have you gotten into the Grant Horvat, like, YouTube stuff?
No, I'm watching a lot of, like, the Barstool Writers Cup. And they, like, basically, Ryan Whitney's a very good player. Frankie Borelli's a pretty good player. I think he's, like, a 5. Riggs is somewhere around there, too. And, like, I don't know why. I'm fascinated by Arian Foster playing golf.
Well, it's fun to watch these former really successful athletes from other sports try to really get their handicaps down because they just get so obsessed with it.
That's what I'm saying. Arian is the same. Like he's obsessed with golf.
Yeah, I always watch the Century every year and just marvel at like you know Steph Curry driving the ball 340 yards in the altitude at Tahoe. Steph played in a
web whatever now. What are we calling it? Corn Ferry, a KFT event. He didn't make the cut, but he shot like 74.
He's a good player.
He didn't embarrass himself.
Yeah, like if he played golf full time, I think he could make the cut in some Corn Ferry Tour events.
The hockey players are all really good. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, I never thought I'd... You're right, though. When that 4th of July comes around, it's like, why do I keep watching this? Like, I'm watching, like, you know, the celebrities play golf, but...
Well, the Lift Tour ought to go oppo and try to do more of its high-profile events during the off-season for the PGA Tour because, I mean, they're not afraid to go all over the world. Like, they can find a warm-weather climate and have, you know, their best players playing when the PGA Tour's best players are not playing. I think they should do more of that.
I just think the biggest struggle with golf is it's like 75 cents for every dollar spent on golf is spent in America.
Yeah, but Americans will watch golf that's played elsewhere if you give it to them.
Yeah, I mean, I think the bigger problem that Liv's got is like when you got these guys on guaranteed contracts, like what is your talent pool? Because they signed a bunch of like aging guys, like what they got Puig. They signed the kid that peed in Augusta, the Arizona State kid that peed in Rays Creek. But like it's just tough to like get the young guys.
Well, Rahm and Brooks, Koepka and DeChambeau, I mean, they make it a draw. Like they would make it worth Like if I stumble across a live LIV event, I'll watch it. I don't seek it out. But if you make it easier, that's the problem with LIV. It's been really hard for the consumer to just stumble upon it. They don't know where to go to find it. It was on CW for a while. Some of it's been on like FS1 and stuff. And if
they'll throw the early rounds on like FS2.
Yeah, but I mean, I'll watch it. There's still good players.
I'm with you. There's also, though, I've been told it's a better in-person experience. Like the people that I know that have gone have said it's actually pretty fun to go to. But I don't know. There's just every time you're watching live, it just doesn't feel that serious.
It's not.
And I get it. Like, I'm not faulting them. Like, if you gave me a dump truck full of cash. Oh, shout out. We're getting our Saudi WrestleMania 2027.
Wow.
Saudis are getting into the wrestling game. I wanted to pick your brain on this. The Big Ten. Okay, so I had mentioned this story to you off the air. The Columbus Dispatch writes, Ohio State University President Ted Carter left open the possibility of changes to the Big Ten Conference's schools' revenue-sharing agreements and his own institution's approach to how its athletics department is funded. During an interview with USA Today that covered an array of Ohio State-specific topics in national higher education, Carter addresses the questions about two longstanding features of the school's sports picture, financial picture. Roughly equal sharing of Big Ten revenue amongst the conference's longest-standing members and $0 in university or student fee money being used to support the athletic department. Essentially, he starts promoting the idea of, like, if we're the ones making all the money, we need to be essentially compensated as such. Okay, so I know a lot of reporters, they've said, like, this is coming. I have no problem buying into the idea that the Big Ten will discuss this. I'm very curious to see if this ever happens in the SEC. I'm not saying it won't, but, like, historically, the Big Ten has not really operated as, you know, everyone's vote is the same. But the SEC has.
Well, what's happened is the ACC's methodology is now seeping into the rest of college sports because the ACC has made concessions to Clemson, Florida State, et cetera, to try to keep them happy.
And once upon a time, this is the Big 12. This is what they did to accommodate Texas.
Yeah, but I think it's wrong. I think you're in a conference with somebody. I mean, the Big Ten is already making the new West Coast members take a reduced share.
Well, and Maryland and Rutgers, I still think they don't get their full share. It's 20-30 maybe.
If you're in a conference with other teams, like, you should be collegial with them. And if you don't want to share revenue with brands that you perceive to be lesser than you, then figure out a way to congregate with brands that you feel like are on your level. And maybe that's where this is ultimately headed, is the 2030s bring about that big shakeup where it is Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State in the SEC, you know, with the SEC's top brands, with Clemson and Florida State, creating the super conference,
yeah,
or what have you.
Because to me, that's their only leverage. Like, because Calkins is like, well, where are they going to go? I was like, well, what if they call those schools that you just mentioned? Like, y'all ready?
Right. And then we see the hierarchy along budgetary lines really start to form. And that's when the big breakaway happens. Because, you know, I still think that for the last 25 years, it's really been about the status quo. Like, everybody wants to talk about how it's harder for the little guy now than it, more so now than it ever was before. It's always been hard for the little guy. But where it will actually get impossible for the little guy is if you have the top 15 to 25 brands clustered together in what is truly a super league that rakes in 90% of the TV rights money. And then everybody else, the 100 plus teams, are left fighting for the scraps, which are the 10%. And that could absolutely be reality if Ohio State, Alabama, Michigan, Penn State, et cetera, the top 15 to 20 create their own league, pull their own rights, and then cut out all the Vanderbilts, the Northwesterns, hate to say it, but the Mississippi States, the Arkansas of the world, you know, and I don't think that would be good. I don't think that's healthy. And that's when it actually gets harder for the little guy. It's just this, as difficult as it ever has been for the little guy. I don't think that's changed at all in this century, but it will change in the 2030s if we don't do something about it.
Yeah. I guess, though, I'm going to have to see the SEC do it. Now, where it really starts to get complicated is if you really, like, at a certain point, are the people that are spending the money, like, because obviously ESPN doesn't want to feature every Mississippi State game. Like, I get that, but I wonder.
They should, man. That Saturday night Arizona State game was an absolute banger.
No, like, it makes sense to me because it makes sense to me that the Big Ten would do it because, like, they've already, like, they have a version. Every school that's come into the SEC has come in with an equal full share. That's not been the case for the Big Ten. So, like, they've already done it. I am very curious, though, if the SEC, because this would go back, like, the SEC has always kind of prided itself. Like, I always give Alabama credit. They could pull rank on the Vanderbilts, the States, the lesser guys. They never do it.
Well, they haven't yet, but will they?
Correct.
Soon?
That's the question.
If they're staring down an era post Nick Saban where success is difficult to come by and they're not financially positioned to compete for top talent, then do they start to pull the, hey, look at the ratings that we draw compared to the ratings that the other teams in this conference draw. Give us more money or we're going with Ohio State to form the College Football Super League.
I guess that's the other question. Is that inevitable?
I think eventually, yeah. I think eventually it is inevitable. I mean, the concept of conferences is getting outdated. I mean, the loyalty, the geographic sensibility, none of it makes sense anymore in college football. Now, I still think there would be value to conferences in your non-revenue sports. They need to be regionalized. They need to be rooted in geography like they were historically. And so I think there could still be a place for conferences in college sports, but in college football, the TV executives are going to look at the return on investment they could get on a package that includes blockbuster matchup after blockbuster matchup after blockbuster matchup. And they're going to say, we could have 6 to 8 premier games every week that would each draw 10 million plus viewers. And what could we sell that for? What would advertisers would flock to that? And that's where it's all headed, and that's where you get private equity starting to have a foothold in college athletics as well.
To me, like, that's
they're only going to push it
if private equity gets in. Then that's when I believe in the extraction because that's what they do.
Yeah, but I think we're talking about a football only product here, and that you could see conferences remain intact for the rest of the sports.
Yeah, and then the other thing that's happening today. We just got a note from Jay. Jason's had something come up, so it'll just be Cobb and I for the rest of the show. So the SCORE Act, which is the all encompassing legislation package, doesn't feel like there's a lot of momentum. And this brings me to the next question: if that doesn't get done, does that force people? Because at a certain point, it's like, okay, the Danny Whites of the world are right. Like, hey, we're going to have to start collectively bargaining. But I almost wonder, it's like, if they can't get the legislation done, is that what pushes everybody to be like, well, if we can't operate in these set of rules, like, let's form a new league and then we can, you know, we can have a new entity and that's how we start to try to get the legislation.
Well, you could form a new league, but I still think at the end of the day, the new league would have to be tethered to collective bargaining. Because if the federal legislation doesn't pass, and this SCORE Act was supposed to be the one that solved all the problems, it was supposed to have as much agreement and uniform.
When did it turn negative? I thought they all thought this was getting done. Now, I always had hand up. I was like, I don't buy this. Or I was like, maybe you can get it passed, but I go, it's not going to hold up. And so I don't know
where the breakdown was politically, but I mean, the detractors on this are the ones who are pushing for collective bargaining, because if you get the federal legislation passed that sort of preempts the need for collective bargaining, then that whole crowd they lost, right? Or at least for however long this thing were to hold up in court. So, I mean, I got to think it's the people who are in favor of collective bargaining that are trying to make this thing dead on arrival. And all the reports today are that this thing isn't going to even get voted on in the House. So if it's not even going to get voted on, and this was the act that was supposed to save college sports, then we can just, can we finally forget about the idea that like Congress is going to save college sports? Can we finally do away with that now? Because we've heard that for so long. There have been so many efforts to make it happen. And if the SCORE Act can't get it done, then like, I don't know that there's a bill out there that would appeal to enough people to where we would ever preempt the need for collective bargaining.
Who was advising these people? Because it's like anyone with a brain goes, wait, let me get this straight. You think the group of people that is the most like jump on anything that's positive, like jump on any populist groundswell, you think that they're going to do something wildly unpopular?
Like, yeah, it's,
how much it's, money it's, was wasted on lobbying?
Oh, I mean, it's just pathetic. And the whole reason why Charlie Baker was hired as the NCAA president to follow Mark Emmert was that he is this politically connected guy, a former governor. He's going to be the one who can pull the strings and get the work done in Congress, boots on the ground, to make college sports a viable entity moving forward and keep the NCAA relevant. He's failed. I mean, he's the least relevant NCAA president of all time, and his influence continues to diminish. And if he can't get this legislation passed, and it certainly appears like he won't, then it's like, man, like we got to talk about like your future now. What are you doing? Because this is what you were hired to do.
Cashing a really nice check.
Yeah, right.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's get into a couple of those big college football games. I want to get into a little bit more of Tennessee, Georgia with Cobb when we come back. We'll do that next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Cobb, in a game that you can hear right here on 92.9 FM ESPN at 2:30, although, have you been paying attention? These ABC 2:30 games are starting at like 2:57.
Yeah, I was in person for this game last week in Lexington.
Yeah, oh, that's right, yeah, because like they kept
pushing. I was looking at the clock, and I was like, why is this game not starting?
Why are we even announcing it as 2:30?
I'm not sure. I'm irritated, though, because this game's going to bleed into the evening window, and that's not what I want. This evening window is too good to be adulterated by an afternoon game.
All right, so you can hear the good old Mike Keith, all-time great dude. He's now the voice of the Vols. You can hear him right here.
Ramon Foster, a West Tennessee native, now the color guy.
Also an all-time great name. Like I never knew if Ramon Foster was good or not. I just knew that his name made him look good. Like that was a guy that would lay the wood.
He was pretty good in college.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, he was also he's like an all-time get off the bus guy. Like he looked awesome. All right,
great radio guy too. He's got a show in Nashville that he does a good job with.
Let's talk about it from this perspective, because again, I'm skeptical of this. if Tennessee can get it done, what does it look like?
So it's got to look like playmakers making Georgia tacklers miss in the open field. But do I believe Tennessee has the playmakers to do that? I need to see it, because it's one thing to make plays in the open field against ETSU and Syracuse, but Georgia historically, specifically against Tennessee and Josh Heupel, has never had any problem making tackles in the open field and holding down what otherwise is typically a pretty explosive offense. Even if the explosivity in Tennessee's offense has changed over the years and become more running game oriented, it's still predicated on Dylan Sampson a year ago or whoever making big plays. Who on this Tennessee offense do we really trust to go out and make big plays against Georgia's defense? I don't know. But somebody's going to have to step up and do that. Because if you go and look at the numbers, my colleague Austin Nivison did this week for an article at CBS. They're striking. I mean, the yards per game, yards per play that Tennessee has posted under Josh Heupel are way, 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 way better than what they've posted against Georgia specifically. And Georgia's had their numbers. So is this group of Tennessee playmakers the one that can crack the code? I mean, I'm not convinced, but that's what it's got to be if they're going to get enough points on the board to win the game.
So, to me, it's like, I think the best they've played against them, and you tell me if I'm wrong, I feel like the first half in Athens is the best that they've played against Georgia under Heupel.
Well, like, against Georgia.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. In this specific series.
Yeah,
and to me, like, the key difference was in the first half, they were really able to get the running game going.
Yeah, it's been uncompetitive. Aside from that first half a year ago, it's been an uncompetitive series. Now, I will say the game in 22 was really impacted by awful weather. I mean, that was the best Tennessee team of Josh Heupel's tenure, but it was predicated on airing it out with Jalin Hyatt and, you know, Cedric Tillman, and they couldn't do that because it was raining buckets in Athens. So, you know, I think a good weather day is also going to help Tennessee's chances here.
Yeah, I was trying to look. All right, so in the four games, according to Cobb's statistical information, all right, in 2021, Georgia mainly played cover one, cover three, and quarters. In 22, it was mainly quarters for the point that you make. Quarters is, I'm trying to take away the big play. Like, I do not want the explosive. Quarters in 23 and quarters in cover three in 22. Because to me, what is actually, like, when I've watched the game, what is striking to me is that for the most part, Georgia says, we are pretty cool having our corners line up and go man-to-man. And then we'll have help over the top. They don't blitz a lot in this. Like, they'll come after you on third down, but it's not a lot of blitzing.
So can you run the ball against Georgia's five or six man box?
Right. And last year in the first half, they were able to do it. Georgia made an adjustment. And then I also do think, like, it, I guess the other thing I would say in favor of the Vols, I'm not sure that Georgia wins that game without Carson Beck. I thought that was Carson Beck's best game last year.
Yeah, so, and now it's the question on the Georgia side of this matchup is it's Gunnar Stockton, because that receiver room at Georgia is so much better now. I mean, Zachariah Branch, Noah Thomas, I still believe they're tight ends. They don't use them enough, but are really good. I think Nate Frazier's an explosive running back, and they've got a pretty deep group of running backs. So, but can Gunnar Stockton be the quarterback who goes to Neyland Stadium and orchestrates? They got to get to like 24. If they can get to 24 against Tennessee, I really like Georgia's chances, because I mean, I just don't know, for the reasons you mentioned, like the explosive play, the big play. Georgia's done such a good job of taking that away against Tennessee. Can you run the ball if you're Tennessee well enough to get them out of those looks and open up some one-on-one plays? And then if you are able to run the ball that well, do you trust Joey Aguilar to hit those downfield shots? I'm actually tentatively encouraged by Joey Aguilar's ability to make the downfield plays. But also, here's the other part of it. He led the Sun Belt in interceptions last year at App State.
According to Pro Football Focus, the Tennessee preview included the blurb, he led the entire nation the past 2 years in turnover-worthy plays.
So what will Georgia, Kirby Smart and Glenn Schumann, what sort of looks and disguises will they throw at Joey Aguilar to bait him into throwing into double coverage, right? Like that's the schematic part of this that I think is going to be interesting to watch because they see those numbers. They know he's susceptible to making mistakes. Can they bait him into making mistakes? If Tennessee turns the ball over, they don't have a chance.
It also just feels like a really buy low point on Georgia.
Because they haven't shown anything. They played two totally overwhelmed opponents, and they got you right where they want you, thinking that they're not as good this year as maybe they have been, and this is where they show their true colors. I mean, yes, I agree. It's a tough spot. But, again, it's the home field advantage aspect for Tennessee. I just don't know that I see them rolling over and taking one on the chin in that sort of environment against an unproven quarterback.
I agree with you. I don't know if Georgia's offense is good enough to, like, run away and hide.
But they're good enough to maybe make it a boring snooze fest.
Correct.
24-13. Oklahoma.
Yes.
Like what Oklahoma did to Michigan.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I mean, in my mind, I'm just like, this just feels like a 24-14 game, and you're never really going to believe Tennessee's in it.
Yeah, it could be. But it's a more of a feast or famine situation for Tennessee with Joey Aguilar than it was with Nico. Like, you could talk me into Aguilar hitting a couple over the
sure.
top. You know, I mean, you could talk me into that.
Oh, if you tell me he hits four explosives, well, all of a sudden we just neutralized the squishing.
For sure. So, yeah, this is a prove-it game, man. This is one on a separation Saturday that's going to tell us a lot about both teams. Whoever wins this game is going to be in the college football playoff.
I think that's period. I think that's probably fair. I mean, pending, you know, a horrific injury, whatnot. All right, let's take a quick break. We come back. We tell your story next. Right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Cobb. One game that we did not get to include on our tasting menu. On Sunday, we got Mac Jones versus Spencer Rattler. NFL football game. I do like how teams are basically treating the Saints like a scrimmage now. Like, we don't need to play our guys. Like, if we need to get rested. Well, John Lynch has got quite the story to tell. I'm excited to see him, Mac Jones, get an opportunity to go show what he can do. And we've got to put together another solid effort on the road and another tough place to play in New Orleans. I don't think anybody's excited to watch Mac Jones play football on Sunday.
Especially not against Spencer Rattler. There was a time and place where if you had told me either one of those would be NFL starting quarterbacks, let alone both, I would have told you were crazy. And I don't know that either one of them are going to be long-term starting quarterbacks. So
Rattler threw the ball 46 times last week. How on earth can that be a real game plan?
Yeah, it shouldn't be. That's a fireable offense right there.
That's Kellen Moore just going like, screw it. Like, he's Kiffin playing video games.
I mean, Spencer Rattler does have an arm. I don't know if he has the rest of what it takes to be a quarterback.
All right, my man, let's enjoy the weekend of ball.
Okay.
That is David Cobb of CBS Sports. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. I want to thank Eric for being with us. For George, for Cobb, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. Gabe Kuhn Show's coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.